You'd take your Bibles, please, and open them to 2 Kings, chapter 6. Our text today is 2 Kings 6 and verses 8. We're going to be reading down through verse 23. 2 Kings 6, 8 through 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, which of you, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. The king of Israel saw them. He asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Excuse me. Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the great treasure that you have given us. We can hold in our hands the very word of Almighty God. Lord, open our eyes today that we might see your truth, that we might hear your voice. Lord, speak to us. May the power of your Holy Spirit take these words, humble, halting words of the preacher. Fill them with power, your power. Change hearts and lives, to convict, to encourage, to lift up your people. Lord, open our eyes that we might see Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, open our ears that we may hear your voice this day, your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name, for His sake. Amen. You ever feel outnumbered as a Christian? Governing bodies and the courts of this land seem to infringe more and more upon the Christian's right to practice and proclaim God's truth. People in this land, people of society, attack Christians, ridicule them, hold them up as objects of scorn. And as they do so, they're met with the approval of the elites of society. Christians are often the subject of verbal and even more and more, it seems, even physical attacks, legal attacks. It is the society in which we live that seeks to set aside God's word and God's commands in regard to life, in regard to marriage, sex, family, the order of society. Christians seem to be attacked on every side. And many give you the impression, if not the outright verbal pronouncement of it, that they would be much happier if there were no Christian influences, no Christians or no visible representations of Christianity in our society. So do you ever feel somewhat outnumbered by those people? Well, the prophet Elisha, even more than any of us, knew animosity from the governing powers in his day, from many of the people of the land. He had received revelation from the Lord in the case at hand in our text today about the intentions of the king of Aram. There was war between Aram and Israel, as we've seen. This is kind of an ongoing war. They war for a while. There was peace for a while. There was another period of war. And the Lord revealed to Elisha the plans of the king of Aram. And Elisha would warn the king of Israel. And the king of Israel would avoid their traps, their ambushes. He would always be one step ahead of them. This enraged the king of Aram. It was so precise that he knew one of his own people must be a turncoat, must be a spy, must be giving information to the king of Israel. Finally, one of his people said, "No, it's none of us, king. It's Elisha, the prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel your plans. He knows the most intimate words you speak, even in your bedroom." Well, this enraged the king of Aram even more. He determined to capture Elisha, to kill him or imprison him, where he could no longer give information to the king of Israel. So he sends men out to spy out, to find out where Elisha is, and they find that he's in Dothan, relatively close to Samaria, not Dothan, Alabama, Dothan in Israel. And they come back and report to the king, and he sends a large force of his army to capture Elisha. He must be silenced. And the truth is, the world seeks to silence Christians. The place in which we live, more and more, becomes like other places in the world. It wants to shut down and silence Christians. As the old song says, we serve him against unnumbered foes. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that the devil is at work in the hearts of those who are disobedient to try to shut down the truth of God's word. So, let me ask you, did you ever go to bed one night, all was well with the world, everything was happy, good in your life? You woke up the next morning to a crisis, problems. I think we've all experienced things like that. That's what happens to Elisha and his servant. They go to bed, everything seems to be well, life is good. Servant gets up early the next morning, goes out to the, I guess, the crisp morning air to look at the sunrise or to, you know, have a few moments alone in the quiet of the morning. And he sees that the whole town is encircled by chariots and horses, the army of Aram. He cries out to Elisha, "My Lord, what are we going to do?" We're surrounded. There's no way out. There's no way of escape. But Elisha isn't troubled. He's not upset. He's very calm. Because he knew, as he said, that those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. You know, he didn't fear the army and the chariots and the horses of Aram. He knew he was safe in God's hand. And when we find ourselves those mornings when things have turned bad all of a sudden, when our foes seem to be multiplying, we need to take up the shield of faith. We need to take up the shield of faith and believe that our God is strong, that our God loves and cares for us, even when we're few and even when the enemy is many. As Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? It matters not about the size of the force against us. Our God is stronger. Our God is more powerful. Our God is all-powerful. And they will all melt before him if he so chooses. Elisha prayed. He prayed that his servant's eyes would be open, that he would see the true shape of the battlefield. He opens his eyes and he sees fiery horses and chariots surrounding Elisha. He saw the truth of the real battle. He saw the true layout of the battle that was about to take place. And like him, we need to pray. We need to pray that our eyes would be open. We need to pray that we would understand and see the power of God. Yes, the government's powerful. Yes, the courts are powerful. Yes, society's powerful. But they are nothing compared to the one who dwells in you, if you belong to Christ. Greater is he that's in you. The true battlefield is the fact that God's people are in his hands. They're held in his hands. We have nothing to fear from these who come against us. What Elisha was trying to show his servant by asking God to open his eyes. And as the Arameans begin to advance, as they begin to tighten the noose around Elisha, he prays that God would blind their eyes. And God did. They were blind. They were helpless. All they could do was follow the one they came to capture. Like the Pied Piper, he leads them into the trap. He leads them to Samaria. You know, you see a great contrast there. Elisha prays that his servant's eyes would be open to spiritual realities. And he prays that the Aramaeans' eyes would be blinded physically to match their spiritual and moral blindness. So he leads this force down to Samaria. He leads them inside the city. And once inside the city, once inside the walls, he prays that the Lord will open their eyes. And what they find is they're inside the city and they're surrounded by the army of Israel. And the king of Israel says, "My father, should we kill them? Let's kill them." Elisha says, No. They're POWs. They're prisoners of war. People you captured in battle, would you bring them back here and just kill them? He says, no, give them some food, some water, so they can be strong for the journey back to where they belong. And they set a great feast before them. By the grace of the Lord, Elisha displays grace to these people who came to kill him, people who had evil intent for him. He shows great grace to them. They go home. scripture says they quit raiding Israel. They've learned a valuable lesson. They cannot withstand the wisdom that God gives to his prophet. They can't withstand the power of God, which is displayed through the prophet. And yet in that, they see grace extended to them who meant only evil for the prophet. So I think physically, militarily, and probably on a deeper emotional level, they understand that they're not going to win. They're probably in the wrong with this. So they just went home and stopped. All the forces that are arrayed against God's people and his church are essentially blind. They're in essence blind. We don't need to pray for them to be blinded. We need to pray that their eyes will be open. That they'll be open to the truth. You know, all creation testifies to God. Romans 1 says the invisible things of God. Isn't that nice how that fits in with this text? The invisible things of God are clearly seen, being seen from what has been created. But the people around us can't see. They're sinners. Their eyes are blinded. We need to pray that their eyes will be open. They stumble in darkness. Their shameful degradation, the things that they do that are so contrary to God's law that they call normal, they don't even see that these things are wrong. They're blind to their own corruption. They stumble in darkness. They're dancing, as Jonathan Edwards said, on a spider web suspended over the mouth of hell. And they could fall through it any second. And they don't see the danger. They're blind to their own danger. We should pray for that. When we see and understand how foolish they are, how blind they are, it should drive us to our knees. You know, we should pity these people, just as Elisha had pity on these poor fools who came against him. He prays to the Lord and they're blinded and helpless. In the same way, these people who surround us and attack us and criticize us are blind and helpless because they're lost. They can't see the truth. We should pray for them. We should be on our knees praying for them. Because only God can open the eyes of the blind. That's the point of Jesus' healing of the blind man. The man was born blind in John 9. John said, since the world began, it was not heard of anyone opening the eyes of a man born blind. We were all born blind. We're all sinners. We were born in that condition, blind, guilty, and foolish. And it was for that reason that Jesus came. Jesus himself said, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ opened the eyes of many during his time here on earth. He opened the eyes of many who were physically blind. But this physical healing pointing to spiritual healing, pointing to what is needed by those who are blind in their own wisdom, in their own self-righteousness, in their own condition that the world applauds and the world praises them for. Actually, the opening of the eyes is a covenant blessing. In Isaiah 42, the Lord says he will make his son to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison and release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. That's why Jesus Christ came. If you still walk in darkness, He can open your eyes. He's willing and He's powerful and He can do that. All who will call upon Him. But people stumble along in the darkness thinking they see. They're blind to the truth and the reality of God's Word. You know, that goes all the way back to the garden. What was the promise of Satan? How did he tempt Eve? He says, when you eat this, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God. And the first part of that was true. Genesis 3:7 says, the eyes of them were opened, but they did not become like God. Their eyes were opened, and all they saw that they were naked, exposed to the wrath of God because of their sin. This is the problem of mankind. The result of the curse is that man sees, but he's blind. He sees, he's able to function, but he's blind to the things of God. Like the army of Aram, they need to have their eyes open so they can see the danger in which they walk day by day. They're surrounded. They're dancing on that spider web. They're blind to the realities of what may happen. They don't see the peril. Just as the army of Aram received gracious treatment from Elisha, so the Lord Jesus Christ, in an instant, He calls those who are blind to see His all-sufficient grace and mercy, and He's willing to pour that out upon them. There's also a pressing need for those who see to have better and keener vision. More insight. All of us at one time could see pretty well. As we've gotten older, we need help to see better, sharper. Elisha's servant could see. He couldn't see the spiritual things. He couldn't see the vision of the spiritual realities around him. God's people should pray for and long for and strive for clearer insight, better vision, understanding of God's Word. The psalmist cries out, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your Word. You know, it's a terrible thing to read the Scripture and not see the love of God in Christ. Not see God's redeeming love for those He's chosen. Not see God's almighty power at work to protect His own, not to see the wonder of grace. Beloved, I beseech you, pray. Humble yourself before God. Cry out to Him. Open my eyes. Lord, help me to see more and more your truth. Because for God, who said that light shine out of darkness, may His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What a wondrous thing. With that light, you can be calm. You can be assured, just like Elisha. Irrespective of the number of foes, irrespective of the challenges that you face, irrespective of the things that attack and confront you every day, perhaps in the morning unexpectedly, things you don't even know about today. With that light, the light of the knowledge of God, in the face of Christ who loved you and gave Himself for you, privy to fear. Because he who lives in you is greater and more powerful than all the forces of evil, even if they were all to be marshaled against you at one time. He is still great. You're in his hand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have loved us, that you've called us to yourself. Lord, we know and see and live among people who are blind. Lord, give us your great grace and strength, wisdom, understanding, to know how we can be used by you to help them see, to open their eyes. Lord, they stumble in darkness. Lord, they do walk in a very thin tightrope above the mouth of hell. Lord, we may be the ones that you have sent to warn them, to pray that their eyes would be opened. Lord, help us be faithful in them. Lord, for ourselves, we would pray that we would have our eyes open more and more, day by day, to the truth of your word, that your spirit would strive with our spirit to enlighten us, to help us understand the deep things of your word, or to make us useful instruments in your hand. Lord, there's our prayer today. You would use us and prepare us and teach us and train us in that way. That would be for your own glory and honor. We ask these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.